He descends like a dove. He's a consuming fire. He comforts. He corrects. He's the source of truth. He's the giver of life. He gives it abundantly. He's the spirit of that life. When you're alone, he's with you. When you're lost, he's your direction. When you're frustrated, he's your relief. When you're angry, he's your peace. When you can't walk, he carries you. When you're broken, he molds you. He puts you back on the wheel and he begins to massage you. And what you thought you were going to become, maybe it isn't that. He knows it all. He lived it all. He gave it all and gives today. He is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of a living God. The unseen, the untouchable, the mysterious, the ever-present, the tangible, the paradox, the oxymoron, the lion, the lamb, the storm, the peace. The mover, the one that stands still. He is the Holy Spirit. The Bible mentions the Holy Spirit and or the Holy Ghost over 800 times in your Bible. I feel like to feel the weight of it, I need to say it again. The Bible mentions the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost over 800 times in your Bible. And yet, people like me, maybe people like you, will choose sometimes to ignore the very presence of the Almighty, the creator of the universe, because I know better. Because I want what I want. We see him pop up in the scripture as soon as the second verse of the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Your Bible says, and my Bible says, the earth, that thing that we stand on, walk on, dig up, this sphere, this planet that hangs out into nothing. That were it to move one way or the other, a fraction of a degree, none of us could survive. And yet, God holds it. Before you were, before I was, before the first man, before the first woman, the Spirit existed. And your Bible says that the earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. I literally could spend all of our time together on that verse, but I want to move. The word that's translated spirit in the Old Testament, such as the verse we just read, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, I'm not a Greek scholar, please don't kid yourself, and I'm not trying to impress you. I just read a lot, and this is what I found out. It's this word. Would you just look at the definition, please? See, we receive it sometimes as a wind or a breath, but in this verse that we just read, it literally is translated. It's not just a breath. No, it's a blast of breath. It's not just the gentle exhaling of Almighty God. No, it's a violent exhalation. If you don't embrace that, once again, we will move God to a place where he is a manageable deity for you and I. We have to understand with the Spirit comes power. From the very beginning, the Spirit was about power. In the New Testament, it's a different word, but it means this. See, in the New Testament, the Spirit moves. It's the same force. It's the same blast. But in this case, it's not a coming and going. It's a current. He moves. He's moving now. He's moving in this place. He's in and out of pews. He's hovering. He's resting. He's speaking. He's convicting. He's crying. In your Bible, in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come down and it would rest on individuals. He would come down for the individual would have a task or a season that they had to walk through. They had to do something for God. And so the Spirit would come, and many times the Spirit would often depart. I've got example after example, but for the sake of time, I'll just remind you that King Saul had the Spirit of God on him. And then the Spirit left him. One of my favorite stories in the scripture, probably because I'm a little dude, is the story of Samson. Oh, he was doing mighty exploits, was he not? And here's the thing. He was not a big, you know, he wasn't like John, where you look at him and say, okay, you're stronger than me, I get it. No, they didn't know where Samson got his strength. You and I know he got his strength from God, the Spirit. So he got up one day and he's getting ready to go out and he thinks he's going to crack some skulls. Your Bible says in the book of Judges, Samson did not even know the Spirit had left him. Right? That is truly the only response we can have is, yikes. David prayed, God, please don't remove your Spirit from me. After his sin with Bathsheba and his subsequent repentance. Now, in the New Testament, though, when Jesus left, and I'm going to ask you to go to John 14, please. When Jesus left, the Spirit came, and for those who are believers in Christ, you, me, wherever you're at in your walk, you need to understand this, that the Holy Spirit comes to you, will never leave you, will never forsake you, so you may feel alone, but you are not alone. You may feel down and out. You may feel out of options. You are not out of options. If I'm not dead, you're not done. So as long as God is alive, forever and ever and ever he reigns, I'm not out of options. Today, we want to talk about the Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, you also find the Spirit of God descending upon Jesus in the form of a dove at his baptism. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago in our baptism service. But you can also see the Spirit of God falling on a group of people on the day of Pentecost in my favorite book of the Bible, the book of Acts. And the Spirit of God fell on them and empowered them to speak in other tongues. And they did all sorts of miraculous works. I want to declare today, without qualification, without apology, and without reservation, the same God that dropped fire from heaven, that filled them with the Holy Spirit, enabled them to speak in other tongues and move in the power of God, is alive today, he's here today, and he did not pick and choose what it is that we are allowed to say he will do. I want to get that out there so you will stop asking me. I can't be any plainer than that. Hopefully, over the next few weeks, you'll get some freedom. Get some freedom, and you will allow the Holy Spirit of God to just take you and make you what he desires to make you. Pastor Dwayne and I are starting a new series. We've simply entitled The Holy Spirit. We don't, we try to get cute with titles sometimes. He's way better at it than I am. I'm not good at titles. Sometimes I just say Sermon 1. But, yeah, right? I don't know what I'm trying to do, but we want to try to empower and equip you to embrace this person of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but I can't preach this to you and not be transparent to you about how I was brung up. I want you to understand that we serve a God that's patient. I'm going to say that again and give you another shot. Those of you that let that one slide by because you were checking your email, know this. Know this. I need you to know, Dave, that our God is patient. And all the dumb stuff that I thought, because I put more stock in the person speaking than the Spirit that was teaching. See, this is something Pastor Dwayne and I have been very careful about over the last few weeks, several weeks probably, and that is our opinion doesn't matter. We are not teaching a denominational stance. We did not get direction from a state overseer or a department head. We want to open the Word of God, read it, let the Spirit do what the Spirit came to do, and illuminate passages to you, and we'll just sprinkle it with things God might have given us. But listen to the Scripture way before you listen to me. That's our request. Amen. And I don't know about you, but as I was growing up, now, again, I wrestled with this. I was sitting on my patio last night, and I'm just kind of wrestling with it. I'm like, okay, I don't want to sound like that guy, you know? I don't want to be that guy that's like, everybody's dumb and I'm smart, because I'm not that guy. I'm not wagging my finger at any churches, any denominations, or any teaching, but I have to tell you my story, because I only know my story. I know how I felt. You have your story. Take us to lunch. We'll listen to your story. Right now, I got a microphone. I want you to listen to mine. And my story is that the Holy Spirit weirded me out. I don't know any other way to say it. He scared me. What he made people do was weird. It still is. Yeah, right? I thought, surely, I'm not allowed. My mom would literally put her hand over my mouth if I tried to talk in church, and this lady is allowed to just say whatever she wants to say. It was weird. I was confused. I'm not blaming anybody. I was confused. I'm not even going to say they confused me. What I'm trying to get you to understand is it wasn't unpacked for me in a way that I could understand. Therefore, I wasted a whole lot of years trying to figure out what the heck is God trying to do through the Holy Spirit. When honestly, if I would have just got on board with him decades before I did, I would have been so much farther down the line than I am. You need to hear me. I mean that. That's not a preacher story. That's not me just trying to be cute. I'm telling you, I missed a lot of opportunity because I was behind the curve. And I don't have a ton of regrets in my life. I really don't. And I mean that, I really don't. But that is one that I let people tell me the opposite of what God was trying to show me. And I vowed to you to never make that mistake publicly again. But see, God the Father made sense because I had a good dad. I get it. Jesus the Son made sense. I've seen the pictures. My dad said Jesus needs a haircut because I used Jesus as an example and him let my hair grow long. I saw the picture of Jesus with the lamb around his neck, with the look in his eye. I saw the blonde-haired, blue-eyed California Jesus. Seen all of those. And I'm like, okay, I can fit him into my life. But the Holy Spirit, listen, the Holy Ghost just seemed weird. I didn't understand it. I didn't know what all of that was about. And it didn't help that I was in a different denomination. And when I was touring with my father, every weekend I was in a different church that taught something different. I didn't know what I believed. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who the Spirit was. All I know is there are some churches that put no emphasis on the Holy Spirit and others that you have to check off a bunch of boxes for. They'll even say you're going to heaven. And we're going to talk about what the Bible says today. Is that okay? Is everybody here with me today? When I started walking down memory lane talking about the Holy Spirit, thinking about the Holy Spirit, rather, I always thought, well, this is the way I process data. And it was weird because people live on patterns. And at a very early age, I was seeing patterns in people's lives and trying to put them together. And I'm like, okay, and please, I'm not trying to offend. I'm not trying to be cute. But here's the way I close the loop in my mind. Only the weirdest of people was all aboard on the Holy Ghost train. And they all really loved the tambourine. And they none had timing. No sense of BPMs, no sense of cadence or measures. And I'm like, okay, fine. I guess this is what you got to do. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not interested in that. I would ask people that I thought were way smarter than me, what's the deal with that? And they're like, man, don't worry about any of that. Well, I kind of am worried about some of that. Because they seem to be way happier than I am. They seem to be way freer than I am. They seem to not get as upset as I do. They seem to have more peace than I do. Something's going on. Well, they're just weird. You know what? It's got to be more than that. Amen. And listen, in all sorts of ministries, again, there'll be some, because of that, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, if not more, that whole seeker-friendly movement came in and the pendulum swung way over here, Pastor Duane, way over here to people who are like, you know what, we got to keep this under wraps. We got to just keep it like super surface. I tell you what, here's what we're even going to do. We're going to even take and change our name on the sign so that no one can say those are weird people. And the pendulum swung so far that there are rooms full of people that love Jesus, are hungry for Jesus, want more of Jesus, and they just keep trying harder. And that was me. And I want to say thank God that one day he opened my eyes. And I had the courage to say, you know what? I love you, but you're wrong, and you're wrong, and I'm wrong, and he's right. Amen. Period. 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 We understand God the Father and God the Son, but there's this other guy. You know, I was thinking about it, and I even hit up a relative of mine, love him, man. He loves me. A great relationship. But he literally, in so many things, we agree on so much. But this is an area we totally disagree on. And we have the freedom. We'll throw each other some verses and be like, what do you read when you read this? And he'll do the same to me. When you read this, how would you teach this? I think it's good to have those people in your life. I've said, actually, Tom Jackson turned me onto this. He said one day to me, this was 30 years ago probably, he said, if you always read books and listen to people preach that you agree with, you'll never be challenged in your faith. So I love bouncing things off of folks that I know disagree with me. Not to be a punk or not to be a jerk, but I got to thinking about the Holy Spirit. And because we wrap our mind around God the Father, and we, as best we can, I know we have, finite minds, but, and then We understand Jesus to the best we can, but I thought about the Holy Spirit because nobody wants to. It's kind of like at family gatherings. It's kind of like the cousin that nobody wants to bring up. It's the cousin that's in over their head. It's the cousin that mom's always going to defend him, but you really don't want them present. Because when they're present, it just gets awkward. So nobody really invites him, but some days he just shows up. And you're surprised by it. And you're like, why are you here? Felt like I needed to be here. We need to embrace the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. What I want to do and what Pastor Duane want to do over the next few weeks is just get a biblical understanding. And listen, I am giving you the highest level introduction, and there are going to be some things over the next few weeks that Pastor Duane and I might repeat that one has said. It's for foundational purposes, not because we're out of material. I'll speak for him. I might steal from him. But are you in John 14? Go to John 14, please, and drop down to verse 9. A little context, Jesus is comforting his followers. Say amen to that. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad Jesus is comforting his followers? Ain't you glad you get comforted today? You know who's comforting you today? Wait, what? We have even... When I make big general statements, please know I'm just making big general statements. If it doesn't apply to you, don't own it. But many have even changed our vernacular and our vocabulary, even when we pray, because we don't understand the role of the Holy Spirit when we pray. When I said, aren't you glad Jesus is comforting everybody? Absolutely. And I get it. And I'm not correcting you, and I'm not being condescending. But we need to understand, Jesus isn't comforting us right now. Jesus, you know what Jesus is doing right now? Do you know what he's doing right now? Oh. Jesus. You know what the Holy Spirit is doing right now? John 14, verse 9. Anyone who has seen me, Jesus said, has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Amen and amen. Verse 11. Just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least... I love this. Just get a little bit of faith. Or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works. Somebody say amen. Yeah, God's not dead. I'm not dead. He's not done. Because I am going to be with my Father. You can ask for anything in my name, I'll do it so the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes. Jesus said, I'm going to repeat this because Peter wasn't listening. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I'll do it. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. And if I ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, someone that speaks on your behalf, another lawyer, another counselor, another, no, see, another comforter, another friend, another I am. What's I am? What do you need? What do you need him to be? Whatever you need him to be, that's what he is. Well, I need him to cut the brake lines on my ex's car. Don't even try it. No. Whatever you ask in my name and it's my will, I got you. Holy Spirit, I got you, he says. But it's got to be my will and in my name. Oh, I just love this. He will give you another advocate or counselor who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads in all truth. The world, everybody say world. The world. The world can't receive him. The world can't receive him. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. Now I'm going to make some statements that are going to kind of feel like bombs. And some of you, I'm going to keep talking. I'm going to keep moving. You're going to be stuck back here. That's okay. You stay there as long as you need to stay. But we're not going to breeze through this passage. Because I'm going to say some things, and it's going to rub you the wrong way. But no, I love you. And these are Dwayne's notes, so I don't know what's going to. He leads in all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. If you or I continue to ignore, don't recognize, acknowledge, accept, take, use in the good way the Holy Spirit, you have now been classified and I have been classified as one of the world. So you stay there as long as you need to stay, and I'll tag that with, and the altar is open. Because this is serious. Hear what Jesus is saying. They can't accept the advocate, the Holy Spirit, because they're not looking for him. They don't need him. If you can do what you do without the Holy Spirit, stop saying you're a Christ follower. If you can do it because you're talented, then knock yourself out. I'm your biggest fan. But stop saying you're a Christian because you aren't. If you can do it without the Spirit empowering you and equipping you, you A, neither need to dream bigger, or you need to recognize him and accept him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as him. And he is very literally God in spirit form. The Bible says the Holy Spirit loves you, and Jesus is going to say, I have to go away so the Spirit of God can come to you and live with you and live within you. He calls him the counselor, and I know you've heard this. I'll just say it for the sake of calling this a study, if you will. It's an interesting word, and you know what it means. It means, in the original language, to come alongside of. You've been taught that, and if you haven't, I mean, that's not necessarily life-changing, perhaps, but it does help you be reminded of the role of the Holy Spirit is to come alongside of you and equip you and be that mighty breath that you and I both need. It's the word parakletos in the original. It's made up of two words, para, which means alongside of, like paralegal, or parachurch, something that comes alongside the church, you get me? And then the other word, which means called. Literally, the Holy Spirit is the one who's called to come alongside of you and live inside of you. The Holy Spirit is one who intercedes for you. Oh, just feel the weight of that. Feel the weight of the fact that the Holy Spirit of God, why would we ignore him? Why would we not put emphasis on him if he, in fact, is the one that's interceding to the creator of the universe for me? For me, I can pray till my nose bleeds for my children and for my grandchildren, for you and for the church and for my neighbor and for my, you get the idea. But my prayers will bounce off the ceiling and fall to the ground where the Holy Spirit not interceding for me, taking my groanings and the dumb stuff I say that makes no sense, but he takes it and he takes it to God and says, here's what Jeff really means. Here's what he was trying to say. He gets upside down sometimes and he sticks his foot in his mouth so many times, but I know his heart and you know his heart. Let me paraphrase what that bonehead is saying. He's saying he needs you to intervene in a situation. That's what the Holy Spirit does. God help us see it. Now, You know how I read the scriptures. I put myself in the story. I'm thinking, if I'm sitting in a room, go with me to this scripture. We're sitting around this big, in this room, right? We're kind of reclining a little bit. Jesus is there. We got our friends, our other followers. We got one dude we're not too sure about, you know, Judas. We're watching him out of the side of our eye. We saw him going through somebody's pockets earlier. If I'm listening to Jesus talk, and he says, I got to go away because I'm going to send somebody else, I'm going to be like, what could be better than Jesus Christ, the miracle maker, the Son of God? What could be better than us just walking through the hillside, going from town to town, walking with Jesus? So if I had to, and this is one of the reasons that the church has the vocabulary that they have, is because in our minds it makes more sense to want to have Jesus than have the Spirit. Jesus is the one we read about that made blind eyes see and made legs that wouldn't work work. Jesus is the one that made the mud spit, bam, put it on somebody's eyes, and they're like, what? Jesus is the one that opened up death. Jesus is the one that rose the dead. So if I was given a choice, I'm telling you, and I this was part of my wrestling match outside at my house, was, you know what? I choose Jesus. And just like God does, I'm studying about the Holy Spirit, reminding myself of what I know, having the Spirit illuminate new things to me. And I came across a verse. John 16, 7. Jesus speaking, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go, I'll send him. Jesus is saying, stop, stop. Jesus is saying, stop, 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 stop. No, I get it. You want to hang out with me all the time. I get it. You want to go to the mountain with me? You want to go on the sea with me? You want to go in the valley with me? I get it. Thanks. But you don't understand. There's something better. I didn't say it. Jesus said, it is what? It's not okay. It's not even a good option. No, it's the best. Jesus in the flesh. Holy Spirit, we can't see, touch. In my mind, I'll take A. Jesus is like, no, 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 no. See, because in our mind, if I'm walking with Jesus, my back starts hurting like it does sometimes, I'll be like, Jesus, do that thing. If I'm walking my dog and dog runs out and a car hits my dog, it would total the car, but I'd be like, Jesus, rock! Rock's dead! Jesus be like, rock, get up and walk. Rock, get up, pee, walk. And probably run out in front of another car, but that's not important right now. He's not the smartest dog. But that's the way we think. He walks through the garden. He walks with me and he talks with me. Yeah, but it ain't him. I know some of you, you're texting your old preacher right now. I get it. I get it. I'll wait because I don't want you to miss nothing. But it's okay. Ask him. Ask him. And then just send him to this verse. I mean, I'm a simple man. What does the Holy Spirit do within the believer? So many things. I want to name two because I know for the sake of time, I need to go here. I need to move. And again, this is very introductory. I want to give you some things to wrestle with. and you will. And you will. What's the Holy Spirit do? If you're taking notes, I'd love you to write down the fact that the Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts. Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts. Thank you, God. Can you imagine? You say, Jeff, I've heard about those. I read a book once and I took a test. We, at the house church, we all took a test. It was weird, though, because there was a whole bunch of stuff on that list that nobody wanted to talk to me about. I'm getting this out of the way for you so you can just breeze right through this. Because here's the thing. Everybody in this room knows what I'm talking about. It's like that one passes the board. That one, good, good, good. That one we can't control. So that one's good. That one's good. And you know what? We need nursery workers. So helps, service. I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I am right now. I know I am, and I'm not going to apologize, but you need, I would say hear my heart, but it's the same thing in there, so. You say, Jeff, what are these gifts? Well, I'm glad you asked, and for the sake of time, again, I'd love to talk more with you about it if you have questions or concerns, but you'll find them in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, even Ephesians 4, and other places sprinkled about. I'll name them quickly. In Romans 12, you got exhortation. You got the gift of giving. You got the gift of leadership. You got the gift of mercy. Are you guys still hearing me? You got the gift of prophecy. You got the gift of service. You got the gift of teaching. In 1 Corinthians 12, administration, discernment, faith, healing, helps, word of knowledge, tongues, interpretation of tongues, wisdom. Ephesians 4, we have offices that are lifted that all require giftings. I said they all require giftings. Apostle, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. One of the things that the Spirit of God does is He gives us spiritual gifts. And I got groundbreaking news for you. You have one, probably more than one. Well, I mean, I'm pretty good at filling the blank there. That's awesome. What I'm talking about, though, is an empowerment from God. And here's what I've noticed. And this is, again, it's one of those things that makes it a mystery for me because I like two and two to make four 100% of the time. I just do, and it doesn't. Sometimes what the Spirit will do is take what you normally lean into well, empower that, and now it's your spiritual gift. Other times, you'll find yourself being drawn to do something that is the furthest thing from what you want to do and what you feel you're good at. In fact, you feel so weird when you first do it, you pray to God that your mouth sticks together. And sometimes that's what the Spirit of God will do. Here's what I'm trying to say, and throughout all of these messages, what I want you to hear is this. Take the lid off of the daggone box, let the Spirit out, and just see what He wants to do, and then go 100 miles an hour at it. Because He wants to give you gifts. But since I've committed to you to be transparent and honest, I really don't want to hear about your gifts. Because somebody told you had something. See, I have trust issues. My trust issues are many people told me what I was good at because they needed that thing. So I'm not interested in brother whomever that said you had whatever. I'm interested in you submitting to the Spirit of God. You will walk in your gifting and we'll all see it long before you ever tattoo it on your arm. Amen, Jeff. That's good preaching, Jeff. And while I'm right there for a second, Something that I really want you to just rub your chin on, scratch your head about is, you know what no one ever talks about? And you're like, don't say no one, don't say every, don't say never. I'm telling you, since 5 years old, I've been in the church. Next Saturday's my birthday. We had a bet if I was going to say that. No, next Sunday's my birthday. Next Sunday's my birthday. I almost made it another year. And Kim lets me live. Here's the thing. I'm telling you, after being in church since I was 5 years old, I've never heard anybody say what I'm getting ready to say. I'm sure they do, and they're great speakers. You know what they always say, though? They always say if you got the Holy Spirit, you're going to have all of these check marks, right? You'll do this, you'll do that, and then you're going to really get him, and you're going to do this and that. You know what no one talks about? I don't want to talk about that list of gifts until you talk about the fruit of the Spirit that he gives. Because if you ain't walking in the fruit of the Spirit, which is another thing that he wants to do, he'll give you spiritual gifts, but he'll also give you spiritual fruit. And it's not a piece of this and it's the whole fruit. And it's got a bunch of slices on it. And those slices are from the Spirit of God. And you can't tell me how many people you raised from the dead if you're jacking your wife's jaw on Thursday night. I'm deaf to you. I don't hear you. We'll have a conversation, but it won't be about your healing powers. I get angry about this in the Spirit because of the number of people that they've been pointed to something. And they've been neglecting the reality that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Who produces it? The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. Read it with me at the top of your lungs. Love. Give him praise in his house. Come on. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Mr. Short Fuse, I want to talk to you, Dad. You got your short fuse. Stop. Stop talking about it. Stop talking. If you are lacking in self-control, you need a date night with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Maybe take a vacation with me. Because he's got some work to do. If we're being honest, though, when we look at Christians today, and again, broad statement, present company excluded, what we see are believers in Jesus that are the opposite of that. And honestly, they really don't look different than the rest of the world. By look, I mean behave. Because God looks on the inside. Men and women who are still bound in prison to the same sin. And I'm not making light of it, and I'm not being funny. Men and women who love Jesus, call themselves Christians, and their prayer lives are flat. How's your prayer life? I mean, you know, on the way to work, you know, after Tim Hortons, I spend a few minutes with you. Whatever it takes, man. My question would be, how's that working for you? People gripped by fear, anxiety, worry, frustration. Don't let that bank account drop a buck. What are we going to do? Well, we need to pray. We can believe in Jesus and really have no real power in our life. Why is that? Because I believe, and I'm going to turn a corner right here. I believe that the reason we do, and I did, and I've made that clear to you, is because we really live spirit-less, not spirit-filled. And I'm not even saying the Spirit of God is not in you. I'm not saying that, because the Bible said he would be. What I'm talking about are the subsequent feelings of the Holy Spirit. And we literally, listen, and I'm not saying anything that nobody in this room wouldn't agree with. I firmly believe that one of the challenges we have in Westernized American Christianity is we don't need him. You got a good job? We're here today and all, and I mean, can we just be super? And I'll speak for, I'm in this crowd with you, so I'm gonna sit right here. I'm gonna sit by you. Here's the thing, we think because it's hot in here that this is like the hell simulator. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We're like, seriously, I paid my tithes. Turn the heat down. I'm like, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. Other countries look at us and go, you're kidding me? You got a place where kids can go? Wait, you have a parking lot? Wait, you have a car? Because honestly, we're doing okay. I'm going to ask this very, very bluntly, very plainly. When was okay the target? When was okay what we're shooting for? I don't want to lead okay. I don't want to exercise my gifts and talents okay. I don't want to love my wife okay. I don't want to love my family okay. I don't want to do that. Why do we settle with some Jesus time to make us feel a little better than existing with the Holy Spirit of the living God? Why is it that people live spiritless and not spirit-filled? Many reasons. I want to mention two very quickly. Number one, some people are not even aware they need him. I think that's a fair statement. So today, I'm just encouraging you to know you do. You say, Jeff, I need a chapter and a verse. Glad you asked. Acts. Whole lot going on in the book of Acts when it comes to the Holy Spirit. I said a whole lot going on in the book of Acts when it comes to the Holy Spirit. If you've never heard the Holy Spirit before, you've never read the book of Acts. Because he's everywhere. He's behind every tree, under every rock. He's in all the Spirit-filled Christ followers. I mean, the Holy Spirit's everywhere. Bam, he's popping up everywhere. Where did he come from? He was just here. In the book of Acts, why do you live spiritless? And maybe you're not even aware you need him. In the book of Acts, chapter 19, and verse 1 and 2, Paul traveled through the interior region until he reached Ephesus, on the coast, where he found several believers, followers of Jesus Christ. We'll say Christians. So he found some Christians. Well, then Paul asked this, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? I mean, no, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Go back to the side before that, hon. They were. Next slide. We didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. Oh, so here's the thing. Ta-da! Drink. What did we pull a rabbit out of my hat? I'm not saying you're not saved. What I'm saying is, you're living like a second-class citizen. No, we didn't receive him. What are you asking me for? We didn't even know there was. Listen, obviously these folks were not at the Pentecost, because they would have been like, we saw that go down. Okay, then. So they obviously weren't there. And they were baptized by John the Baptist, because if you read on, Jesus asked and said, did you receive the Holy Spirit? No, we've not heard that there is a Holy Spirit. We knew Jesus. We knew John the Baptizer. Who's the Holy Spirit? We don't even know who that is. So it wasn't like they were trying to dodge the question. It wasn't like they weren't all in as believers. The reality of it was they didn't even know they needed to know about what the Holy Spirit could do in their life. So thank God for people like Paul that come along to say, you need to have this question asked to you. And you might not feel it now, but you'll thank God for Pastor Dwayne and this little preacher who says, do you know the Holy Spirit? I didn't know I needed him. You do now. I think there's many folks in the same place as these believers that we just read about We've heard about him, and that's kind of about it. Whole lot of folks just don't know what they're missing. When I worked at my career, I was I traveled some, and I've traveled a lot with music and speaking and what have you. And I found when you travel, there's two types of people. The folks that come in the plane, they turn right and they go all the way to that end. They go, and you got others that go in, you turn right, and you sit down. I was in the first group. I'd go in, and I'd walk to the back of the, and I'm a little dude. I get it. And when I don't have room, I feel sorry for you normal-sized people. Because I don't know how you go 4 hours or however long you're in that plane. And here's what you know if you've flown back in those seats. They pull this curtain, and there's some things going on up in that front end of that plane. The seats go back like legit back. You get your soda in a real glass. I know, I'm shocking you folk. Once you body dating folks, you'd be like, what? No, there's a section where they live large. I mean, I would get a little bag of nuts, used to, probably don't get that anymore. Up the people on the other side of the curtain, microwaved cashews. You're like, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? What do you want? Because you have as much of the Spirit of God that you want. If you're constantly cool with mediocre and average and just getting to heaven, you're going to hate us. You really will, because we're going to try to push you out of mediocrity. But two, God will let you sit back there. There are things that if you've never sat on that end of the plane, you don't even know they exist. Remember, Tommy, when me and Doug Williams went to Texas? Yeah, went to Dallas for some training, week, 10 days, something like that. When we had our per diem, right? We would buy the ticket, and we would buy the cheapest anything we could find because, well, you had per diem. It was per day, not per what I spent. Okay? He decided he was going to upgrade his ticket coming back. He said, I'm not making fun of him. This is how he thought, super slow. I'm going to sit in first class. And we had bought these big Stetson hats. True story. And he's like, I'm sitting in first class. I'm like, man, knock yourself out. I said, I'm keeping my per diem. You do whatever you want. And so he goes up and sits down. I'm not kidding you. It was a different world. He got to go on first. Okay, McBill, who cares, right? Who cares? But then when he got off, they directed him into this lounge. Well, I didn't know there was a lounge. There is a lounge. I'm like, what's in the lounge? He's like, man, there was three ladies in there, and they were given free 10-minute massages. And I'm like, I want a 10-minute massage. You can't, because you're on the other side of the curtain. He didn't say that. I'm saying that. I'm like, well, what else is in there? He goes, man, it's food. It's quiet. People come up. They wait on you. I'm like, well, I mean, I don't. He said, here's what he said. You should have upgraded. Many of us, we're just really okay sitting to the right of the curtain. Because here's our thought process. I'll get to my destination just like you will. So, but you don't want to live life with no power. Hey, move the curtain aside and get elevated and promoted to the position that Christ afforded you with his death on the cross. Oh, I hope you're hearing me today. I hope you're hearing me. You say, Jeff, why do people live spirit-less? Well, some people don't even know they need the Holy Spirit. If you're taking notes, number two, some people are just simply resisting the Holy Spirit. Guilty. I think we all, if we were honest, would say, yeah, I do that. See, that's where I think that's where most of us kind of land. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit has prompted you and led you to do something and maybe say something, go out of your comfort zone, whatever, and you're like, man, I don't want to do that. I just don't want to do that. And if we can be transparent, let's be honest. You ever had a time when you were getting ready to do something and it wasn't the Spirit saying do it, it was the Spirit saying don't do it? And you're like, but I really want to do it. And then we have to live with the consequences of doing it. And I know if you've walked with Jesus for very long and you've had the Spirit of God leading and guiding you, I know that you've experienced God prompting you to do something and you've done it. Make a phone call, send a letter, send an email, speak up in a public place, whatever. And the way that's received is miraculous. And you're like, oh, they say something, you're like, man, I can't believe you would say that to me because just this morning, and then they got this big, long story. Has that happened to anybody? Anybody, God used you, had you do something? Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? It's not a coincidence. You didn't get lucky. See, when we resist the Holy Spirit, many times we resist the stories that people tell when God's used them in miraculous ways. And FYI and BT dubs, ain't that why we're on this planet? To make the difference? Because if God didn't want us to do that, as soon as we said yes to him, we'd be in heaven right now. But we're here for a purpose. But we've got to be led by the Spirit to do that. Some people just simply resist. I've brought to a man named Stephen in the New Testament. He was a young, courageous, bold believer. He was talking to the Sanhedrin, the religious folks, and he's just unpacking it. And he just gave them a good chewing right before they threw rocks at him. And here's what he said in Acts again, chapter 7, verse 51. He said, you stubborn people, are you in this story? They have rocks in their hand. He's getting ready to have a rock. You stubborn people. Bro, I'm going to crush your head. Okay, but let me say this. You are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? Because that's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Remember when I opened this message and talked about the traditional pattern that I was in, that my ancestors were in, and I had to break? Some of you might say, man, I just don't know if the Holy Spirit prompts. Yeah, he does. Yeah, he does, and he does it in a lot of different ways. I'll tell you, let me look at three ways that the Spirit will minister to you and we'll go. I know it's 6 minutes till noon. Can I have five more minutes? Okay, if the three of you that are giving me five more minutes, I want to talk to you. The rest of you, thank you. God bless! Because I'm going to say it anyway, so. Three different ways the Holy Spirit will minister to you. Here's what I want you to do. We're going to go through these quickly. I want you to just ask yourself, do I need this? Do I need this? Do I want this? If it's yes, that's awesome. Number one, the Holy Spirit will comfort you. Say amen if you need comfort. Amen. Yeah. Holy Spirit is called the comforter. He'll comfort you when you're hurting. Here's what the scripture says, and I love the way the King James parses out this verse and 14, 16 of the book of John, I will pray to the Father and he will give you another, say it, comforter, that he may abide with you forever. This is the very presence of God. What's amazing to me, there's those in this room now and those online watching this message, and you're going through something very difficult right now. I may not know it. I might, but I may not know it. I can promise you this, that at this very moment, you can sense the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you can either resist that and stay in your pity party mode, or you can let him comfort you. And you may not need anybody to say anything to you to bring that comfort. Because many times we just keep looking at people. When the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter, that's who he is and that's what he does. So I guess the obvious question is, do you want comforted? Well, then don't look anywhere past the Holy Spirit. And then if he leads you to other people, that's great. But he's not plan B. The Holy Spirit will comfort you. You might be hurting, but you can sense his comfort. He can comfort you with peace that goes beyond human understanding. Many of you in this room have experienced that. You have stories. When my mama was passing away, I was by her bedside a few days before she passed and even when she passed. And man, I could just see the pain that was in her life. I couldn't believe she was able to withstand and endure the way she did. But I remember asking her, I said, Mom, you're just so calm in all of this. You're just so calm. And Mom wasn't a religious person. Mom had a relationship with Jesus. She'd read that big, large print Bible. And I said, Mom, you're so calm. And I remember Mom saying, well, the Holy Spirit gives me comfort. You think I don't want to talk with the Holy Spirit? My mother, who had cancer all over her body, could endure that because of the Holy Spirit. Not because I was there. Because the Holy Spirit was there. Amen. Number two. The Holy Spirit will counsel you. Let me just ask this. You don't even have to hold a hand up. Don't respond. Just pretend like you're looking for this verse that I'm going to read in the Bible, okay? Do you need counsel? Do you have a decision you need to make and you're not sure what to do? Everybody's, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that'd be me. That'd be me. Well, you know, the Spirit is who gives you counsel. He's the comforter, but he's also the counselor. He's your guide. You don't know what can do. He can lead you. He can guide you. He can direct you. Scripture says it this way in John chapter 16, verse 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. All. That's so powerful. Don't know what to do? Spirit does. Pray and the Spirit will give you direction. Listen, and he'll give you discernment and wisdom, but it might be something you don't want to do. He's not going to make you do it. But he gives comfort. He gives counsel. You're like, can I hear his voice audibly? You know what? I used to say how that wasn't the case, but I'm telling you, sometimes I've heard the voice of God. I have. Sometimes it comes through my wife. Sometimes it comes to my friends. Sometimes it comes to my grandkids. Man, one time Dylan ministered to me. I mean, God spoke through him to me, and I couldn't even speak back. I mentioned my dad. I've been thinking a lot about my pops, Father's Day. And we did a couple TV shows, and I was playing music with him, and we were up around the Buffalo, New York area. We were doing this little TV show, and Dad was kind of the front man of the band, you know. Dad was the man, and we were on this Christian network, and they made my dad wear this little thing in his ear, and this was back in the day, so it wasn't like today where you can't see him. I mean, he had a big deal with the curly cord that hung out. He hated it, and he had this thing in his ear, and so the guy would come on to the studio, and when he would talk to my dad, he would give my dad some cues, some instruction, like, oh, okay, we're running out of time. We got a break for this. You know, one more song. And Dad would do one more song. And then they'd say, okay, we'd be at commercial break, and they'd say, okay, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, you know, smile. And to hear my dad talk about how that producer navigated him through something he did not understand, navigated him through what would have ultimately been a train wreck had the voice in his ear not told him when to step up, to when to get ready. We're on in 5, 4, and we're all like, we're just acting a fool, like me and my pops did. And we'd walk up to the mics because it's almost time. I got to be ready. That's what the Spirit does to you, church. That's what He does for you. Yes, yes, He's a comforter, but He's a counselor. Listen. And I'm not even saying that your life's going to be in shambles if you don't. But how long do you want to live on the other side of the curtain? Number three, and I'll end here. He comforts, He counsels, and He convicts. John 16, verse 8 says, and when He comes, talking about the Spirit of God, He will convict the world of its sin, of God's righteousness, and the coming judgment, even now. Some of you, just in us bringing the Holy Spirit to the foreground in our conversation, you're feeling the convicting draw of the Spirit in your life. I don't remember the date. I remember where I was, and I remember the season of my life when it dawned on me I need to be incredibly thankful for conviction. Because I used to be like, no, I don't want to hear that sermon. I don't want to sit in that service. And I'd do everything to get out of it. And I'm like, no. I need conviction. And I've learned to be very grateful for conviction. That's the Spirit of God. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And the Spirit of God is the one who's drawing you into a closer relationship with Him. Or if you're not in a relationship with Him, it's the Spirit of God that is drawing you into a relationship with Him. The Spirit of God is the one who's telling you, stop the direction you're going, throw the brakes on, and go the other way. That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit of God. That's not me. That's not your spouse. It's the Spirit of God saying, listen. Listen. Come. Go, stay, left, right. It's the Spirit of God. He convicts. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You are all of these things. Holy Spirit, I submit, I recognize who You are and Your role in my life. Lord Jesus, I thank You for what You did on the cross and the empty tomb, and I thank You that You sent us a comforter, a counselor, an advocate. In Jesus' name, maybe you're here and you are under the conviction of the Lord right now. I don't know what that is, but you know it's not an accident that you're here. So I need to ask you, if you're feeling that conviction, you know you're a child of God. I get it. I would never try to talk you out of that. But you're feeling a conviction on either something you're doing in your behavior pattern, something you're not doing, something you said, something in your heart that no one knows about. Maybe it's your lust, it's your greed, whatever it is. You are just being convicted. Maybe you're being convicted that you're just not giving the Holy Spirit His position in your life. Whatever it is, and that's between you and God, if that's you, raise your hand because I want to pray for you as I pray for myself today. God bless you. Thank you, sir. And you are here in the front. Who else? God, thank you, dear, in the back and in the middle right there, front, all over. Who else? Thank you, dear, right in the middle. Who else? Thank you, son, in the back. I'm proud of you. It takes courage. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Who else? I just thank you, honey, right up here. Courage of a young lady. Who else? I'm convicted. Thank you. Thank you, Gavin. I'm proud of you, son. Who else? God, thank you both. Thank you. Powerful. young adults say, I need the Holy Spirit in my life. I'm feeling His conviction. Oh, my God, if I wouldn't have ran from God at that age, where would I be? Thank you, Jesus. Hey, if you raised your hand, listen, I will never try to oversimplify anything and talk down to you. You don't have to dumb down the gospel. You know, if He convicted you, He's drawing you, and you just have to give in to Him. You confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Jesus. Agree with me. Father, thank you that the Holy Spirit still convicts, still draws. You see my heart. You see what it is I'm struggling with. You see what I need to give you, what I need to lay down. You know what I need to pick up. I relent to you. I open my hands. I come to you. Father, I have unclean lips, and I exist with people with unclean lips. Oh, take the coal from the altar. Touch my lips. Cleanse me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. Spirit of God, fill me. Fill me. Oh, I make room for you right now. Go through the hallways of my heart. Kick down the doors that I've locked. You have access. You have availability. Holy Spirit, I relinquish any control I thought I had. I bend the knee to you. And I submit my life. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're watching this online, or maybe you're here, here's what I need you to do. And I don't need it for any other purpose than I want to stand with you as we go through this series. The enemy's going to try to confuse. He's going to try to negate the decisions you make as we continue to introduce you to the Holy Spirit as it gets a little deeper with each passing week. We want to know how to pray for you. Pastor Dwayne and I want to know. I'm going to ask you, if you made that decision today, the card in front of you, just feel it out. Just all I need to know and all we need to know is the decision you made so we can lift you up in prayer. We don't need details. It's safe with us. You have our word. It goes back to a room, and then they are hand-delivered to Dwayne and I. Please, let us know how we can pray for you. If you need to further the conversation, include that in there as well, and we can get you with the person that is who God wants you to walk this journey with. Are you glad to be in God's house? Thank you for being here. God bless you.